Welcome everyone to this meeting of the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. I'm Luella Cronkite. I'm one of the moderators of Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. And today's meeting, we have as our guest today, Mark Norris, who is one of the candidates for the Progressive Conservative Leadership here in Alberta. I just have a few announcements to make before we get started on our meeting, though. We do welcome all of you here today. It's great to see so many people out, and also I'd like to recognize the television audience, all of you watching at home as well, and those of you who are interested in seeing this program again, or who might perhaps want to tell other people about it. It will be both on Shaw Cable over the weekend and on the Southern Alberta Council of Public Affairs website. It will be posted there in just a few days, and then you can also hear it streaming media. And you can always go online as well and listen to past programs if you've been unable to make it to a program that you wanted to hear. Another reminder of the format of our program today, as usual, we'll have the speaker talk to us for 25 or 30 minutes. We'll have time for lunch, and then we'll reconvene for a question and answer period at the end. And the cost of the meeting and lunch is $8, which I would invite you to put on the table, and the treasurer will come around and collect that later. Speaking of the treasurer, our treasurer is Diane Pointer, and she would like to make an announcement.
Oh, hello, everybody. It's good to see you all here. And treasurers always like to talk about money and things. So I'm here asking you to remember or encouraging you to renew your memberships. Our membership year runs from the beginning of July until the end of June. So unless you've purchased a membership recently, you probably haven't renewed for this year. And I also would like to invite our TV audience to buy memberships because it's the membership that keeps us going. And if you enjoy the services and the programs that SACPA provides, we just would like to have you all as members. Thank you very much.
Oh, just one thing.
I'd be happy to sell the memberships too.
And to our meeting now. As you know, our guest today is Mr. Mark Norris. Mr. Norris grew up in Edmonton, which I was very pleased to hear since that's where I grew up as well. Sorry about that. He received a bachelor's degree in political science from St. Francis Xavier University in Nova Scotia before beginning his business and professional career in Edmonton. In 1990, he purchased the family business, which was an advertising and sign manufacturing company, and he ran this from 1991 to 1999. He entered politics in 2001 and ran against and defeated Liberal leader Nancy Macbeth in the riding of Edmonton-McClung. He served as Minister of Economic Development, responsible for tourism and industry, from 2001 to 2004. I looked on his website today, and he's got a very busy schedule. I believe he was where, in Jasper yesterday, was it? So he's come across half of Alberta to be with us here today, and he's got a number of other meetings here in Lethbridge before he goes on to other points in his busy schedule. Today he particularly wants to speak about democratic accountability in Alberta, and I know he'll be open to other questions as well. So please join me in welcoming warmly Mr. Mark Norris.
Well, thank you very much, Luella, and it is a real honor to be here with you. And before I begin my remarks, I guess that's not going to help, is it? It's just okay. It's a real honor to be here with so many elected officials, and Mayor Tarlick has been very kind to me in helping me understand the issues of Lethbridge, and I see Paul Hinman, Bridget Pasteur, and a former MLA who I have an awful lot of time for because those are the guys who got us here, John Gogo, and maybe you would help me in thanking all of them for what they're doing for this area and for Alberta. Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to talk about electoral reform, but before I do that, I want to talk about Alberta and where I see it going if I were fortunate enough to be the Premier of the province. And I think in order to look forward, it's important for us to look back. And I'd like you to journey back with me to about 1971, when the PC Party formed the first government under then Peter Lougheed, with names like Marv Leach and others, and then John Gogo, and you know them all. And at that time, Alberta was a very different place. It's had two major centers in Edmonton and Calgary. A rural-based economy, agriculture was driving it. And the government then said, if we're going to maximize opportunity here in Alberta, we're going to have to start identifying businesses and industries and work with them. And they chose at that time four major industries, oil and gas, obviously, agriculture, obviously, forestry and tourism. And they made it the priority moving forward to talk about how do we get people to understand we're open for business, how do we work with those industries, how do we create jobs, how do we make our resources, extract our resources in Alberta and do it here. And the rationale was very simple. If you think back to Alberta in the 70s, kids were still leaving for education. A lot of our products were leaving the province to get upgraded. And the government of that day said, we don't want to do that. So they made a specific plan and they stuck to it. And over the next 15 years, some remarkable things happened. Our province started to boom, partly because of commodity prices, but partly because the government said, we're going to focus on these things, and we're going to make them happen. And through that period, we had great growth in Alberta. And then the mid-80s hit us, and something else in Alberta's history came upon us, National Energy Program. And many of you will remember that, as I do, because I was involved in business at the time, and it was devastating, not only to my family, but to many people in Alberta. That, combined with commodity prices that went very, very down, caused us to have a big problem. And throughout the 80s and early 90s, we were in a very different Alberta. We were ringing up debt, massive amounts of it, $4 and $5 billion a year, and by the 1992, we ended up with about a $22 billion deficit. And at that point, another leader came along in the form of Premier Klein, and rightly or wrongly, said, in order for us to kind of have the Alberta that we want to have, we can't be bankrupt anymore. And we're going to cut, and we're going to get the programs under control, and we're going to get our spending under control. And I was a young businessman in Alberta at that time. I was just starting out, having bought our family business, and I agreed with what he said. Because I know running a business, you can't spend more than you take in. It's simple math. So the next 6 or 7 years, we did what Premier Klein said we were going to try and do together. And we had our cuts, and they were some of them very brutal, and some of them were unfair, but it was the best route to go. And by 1997, we were done with our deficits. And in 2004, as you'll recall, in Calgary, we announced that we had paid off the debt. And I was very proud to be part of the team that did that from 2001 to 2004. So where does that leave us now? In that brief bit of Alberta history in the last 35 years, I think it leaves us in an Alberta that has unbelievable opportunity, unlimited opportunity for us and for our kids. And as I've traveled around the province in the last 2 years, since I made my intentions clear to Premier Klein that I would be seeking this job, people have asked me, Mark, what's the vision? What's the plan? Where do you want to take it if you're lucky enough to be the guy that gets the job? And the first thing I respond is, I would not be doing it alone. I think any leader worth his salt that stands here and says, I have all the answers, and here's the direction I will take you, is not a leader to be followed. We have great men and women in this province who are making efforts every day to bring forward ideas from Lethbridge and Pincher Creek and Crow's Nest Pass, and they have to be heard moving forward. But I do have a vision, and I do have some priorities that I wanted to share with you. And my vision is no more complicated than to have a province where people dream big, work hard, and have a government that helps ensure they get there. Nothing more complicated than that. I've heard policy statements, I've heard mission statements, but the reality is Albertans all share a very similar commonalities. Hardworking, entrepreneurial, self-reliant. They don't need a government to tell them what to do. They need a government that's going to give them direction and then get out of the way. And that's the kind of government I would like to be a part of. And so to achieve that vision that I've just articulated, we have three key priorities that I wanted to share with you. These are the priorities that we'll be making our decisions about, and these are the priorities that will help us decide how to move forward. And the first one, and probably the most important in my estimation, is spending and saving wisely. By any account right now, our spending has gone through the roof. Per capita, we are spending more than any province in Canada. And our services are, I don't think, keeping pace with our spending. And I'd like to be part of a government that says, if we have 3.2 million people in Alberta, and we want to provide these services, and we're going to spend $8,000 per person, for sake of example, there's our budget, and we're going to stick to it. Very simple, but that's the way I ran my businesses. And on the flip side of that coin is the surplus side. And I've seen, like you, over the last 5-6 years, that Alberta has been mightily blessed with massive surpluses, ranging from $2 billion to $10 billion. But without a plan for them, the same thing seems to happen over and over again. There's a race into Edmonton with people saying, where's mine? Where do I get my overpass? Where's my schools? Where's my bridges? And to me, that's not an effective way to deal with those surpluses. I would like to say, if we have a surplus, we're fortunate enough that 50% go to the Heritage Trust Fund for future generations, 30% go into our endowments, things like the medical research and the arts, and 20% go into our sustainability fund for unforeseen disasters, grasshoppers, floods, fires, etc. And I think if we have a plan for that surplus, two things will happen.